When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kiss Army. Welcome to Shout It Out Loudcast. I'm one of your hosts. You can call me Zeus. I am here with my co-host. His name is Tom. Tom, say hello.
Hey, what's up, Kiss Army? Welcome.
So this is the debut episode of Shout It Out Loudcast. Today we just kind of want to give you a feel about us, our background, our whole history, as they say, Tom.
Absolutely.
And let you know what kind of show we're going to have. And there are a lot of great KISS podcasts out there. We just want to be another one to your list to listen to. We love podcasts out there about KISS, and we hope that this podcast will be something that, you know, you guys will listen to as well. Tom, why don't you kind of lead us off? Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell everybody why they should listen to us. Go ahead.
All right. Well, let's get started with my background as a KISS fanatic. So everybody has their story. So I'll tell mine. So it started at the ripe old age of 5. And of course it was courtesy of an older cousin.
Wow, you started off liking KISS old at 5.
So it was the summer of, summer 78, at my cousin's house, and he was much older than me. I'd probably say, 10, 12 years older than me. So he flipping through the big stack of LPs, and as you remember, in that old days, the album artwork was just amazing. So, you know, I'm 5 years old. I'm flipping through. I'm seeing all this amazing artwork. You know, the Boston's debut album, Queen, Molly Hatchet, all these things. I flip and I see Love Gun, and I was like, "What the hell is going on? What is this? These guys are insane. There's like women on their at their feet, and it's just it was just awesome." And I remember telling my cousin, can I have this? He's like, "Oh, yeah. I don't even know where that came from. KISS is terrible." I'm like, "Oh, all right." So I'm 5 years old. I have no idea what I'm doing. So I take the record home. Yes, I took it. And I actually have it hanging on the wall in a frame. I will actually post a photo of that eventually. So I took it home, and I was like, I didn't really know what I was listening to. I was just enamored with the cover, but eventually I got into the music, and I just loved it. I love like that Shock Me, Christine 16. Yeah, 5 years old, listen to the lyrics to Christine 16. I have no idea what he's talking about. So that was pretty much the beginning, and from there on, it was just KISS mayhem from there, because that was, again, 78, that was like when they were kind of like on top of the world. That fall, the solo albums came out, obviously got all of those. At the time, I loved Gene's album. That's not really the case today. We'll talk about that in the future. I think that year for Christmas, I believe, I got double platinum, still have that. And again, and I that's when I started to get into the music, when I got double platinum, because I was like, whoa, I'm like, what are all these other songs? Deuce and Firehouse and Cold Gin. Again, 6 years old, listening to songs about Cold Gin. just loved it, you know. And then
imagine that now.
Oh, I know.
The way the overparenting society we have.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine a parent going into a school and be like, or a kid coming to school, look what my parents gave me to listen to, with Kiss on the cover, you know, listen to Cold Gin and, other crazy lyrics. And then, you know, and I think the parents would be like, would get a call from the school administration, be like,
oh yeah,
what is this stuff that little Johnny brought to school?
There was a kid, I think it was second grade, maybe. I can't remember what grade we were in. A kid got his school pictures taken with the Destroyer t-shirt on. First of all, awesome. Imagine having a Destroyer t-shirt when you're in the second grade. I mean, that was awesome. So back to the story.
DFC would be called on that parent today if they were in the second grade with that shirt on.
Yeah, probably. So double platinum. And then I'm trying to think. I'm kind of losing track of the timeline exactly. But then, because again, I was 5, 6 years old. But we'll get into the Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park movie, also 1978. I was so excited for that movie to come out. My parents were like, Tom, you got to come down. The Kiss movie is on. And the way my house,
that's just awesome. Your parents are encouraging this.
Oh yeah, and the way my house was set up, when you come down the stairs, the first thing you see when you come down the stairs is the TV. So I come down the stairs and I'm like so excited, and the movie is starting. You remember the intro, and I see Gene Simmons, and I was scared shitless. I wanted no part of the movie. I was terrified. Now, and
did they shoot the beams? I forget, in the beginning of the movie, like shooting beams or something, or Paul Stanley. Well, and Peter is playing the drums on the roller coaster. And,
yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, so the images of all the band members that they're all like superimposed over like the carnival. So they make Gene look like a giant, you know, and Paul. Yeah.
And then you don't see them for another 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that we'll cover that in the Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park episode. But yes, you're right. So then fast forward 1979, again, I get Dynasty for Christmas, okay? Another Christmas album. Now, I don't know if you remember.
Kiss fans, weren't they?
What's that?
Your parents were Kiss fans.
Actually,
this is for my son. No, it's for my son. Yeah, sure it was.
Actually, my dad kind of got a kick out of them, you know? and if you remember the Dynasty album, it came with this awesome poster, and they were all in straitjackets. And Gene had just this menacing look, like his eyes were looking the other way. It was just psychotic. 6 years old, had that hanging up in my bedroom. Terrified, never slept. You know, whatever. So, you know, and then the 80s came. And I started to fall out of Kiss. And that's when, like, the hair metal stuff started to happen. You know, and I started really getting into, like, you know, Motley Crue and, you know, Poison and all that kind of stuff, kind of faded away a little bit. Then in high school, out of nowhere, my buddies and I came aware that Kiss were doing a tour, Hot in the Shade tour. So like, yeah, Kiss, whatever. I think we went because Faster Pussycat and Slaughter were opening up for them. I think we were more interested in that.
Yeah.
So we go to the Hot in the Shade tour, 1990, and that show was just insane. I mean, to this day, still probably my favorite set list. I mean, yeah, they played everything from every era. I mean, they opened up with I Stole Your Love. I mean, think of that. A new album, and they're opening up with makeup era music. It was terrific.
Awesome.
You know, and then, you know, started getting back into them a little bit. You know, got the Revenge album, you know, in college. And then, you know, that leads us up to me and you hooking up. There was nobody listening to Kiss.
Not really hooking up.
Yeah.
Just to set the record straight.
Yeah, there was nobody listening to Kiss when we got to college, because that was right. Pearl Jam's new album came out. Stone Temple Pilots' new album came out. Like, Kiss was just...
It was the middle of that era.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at 91, 90. Oh, Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Metallica's Black. Skid Row's was number one. Remember?
Yep.
That was like first one that... went straight to number one. It was Slave to the Grind.
Yep.
So it was that between the hair metal was kind of going out, and those hair metal acts were starting to take off the makeup and trying to be like rockers and grungier, and then Nirvana and Pearl Jam started creeping in.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at like the Revenge, I mean, you look at that album cover. You know, the Gene's got the long hair, the goatee, the black leather. You know, that they were trying to, and that's one of their heaviest, hardest albums.
And best,
right? And then that was the year we discovered the Kiss Extreme Close-Up VHS cassette.
Oh, yeah. We had fun with that.
And that honestly put us back on track with Kiss, because that was stuff – we saw stuff in that video that we never even knew existed. Like the video for Sure Know Something. Like just all unbelievable stuff. Like
that's an episode in and of itself.
Oh, yeah.
We were at a stage when we were in college with all our buddies where we got into movies and we would quote lines from every movie. Me and you knew that video inside out. We would quote doctors, lawyers. We knew every part of that video.
Yeah,
and we would quote it to each other. That was our inside joke. And that's what happened. The Kiss stuff.
You listen to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, not me.
Exactly.
You know? And then fast forward again, senior year, October of our senior year, every big costume party on campus.
94. What do we,
yep, 94. We dress up as Kiss. Right. Me, you, two of our other friends, full makeup. We had somebody actually do the makeup.
I think we wore black shirts and like tin foil for like the silver, right?
Yep. Yep.
Right? I think that was what we were doing.
Yep. Now at that time.
And who are you, of course?
Of course, Gene. And who are you,
of course? Who was I, of course?
Yep, Peter.
That's right. It's always been the same.
Yep. Now at that time, Kiss wasn't even on the radar. I mean, I remember walking into the auditorium or whatever, wherever the place was.
For the mixer.
Yeah, yeah. People like, what the hell are you guys doing? Who's Kiss? Like, what are you doing? Because this was before.
It wasn't even a gimmick of them back in makeup. Nobody was talking about it.
Right.
You know.
There was no reunion talk. There was no convention talk. There was nothing.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
But right after graduation, you made it to that convention.
Yep, exactly. Which leads me to that. Yeah, I went to the convention. It was the, I think it was 95. It was in Boston. And I had no idea what it was. I thought it was
just Murph and you. Was anybody else there?
No, it was just me and my buddy Murph. We went and we're walking around, and it was all all kinds of all the costumes and just all kinds of gear for your history. And then I don't even think we knew this when we bought the tickets. Kiss was there.
Yeah,
they were doing like a closed, like a little like a little acoustic request.
They needed the money.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
At least they performed. They weren't like sweeping up like a couple of the former band members after the show, unfortunately.
Well, no, I mean, it was nice that Ace Frehley parked my car for me when I got into the convention. You know, it was nice.
I bought popcorn from Peter, but look, they were down and out, and they weren't at that time bringing Peter and Ace out, right?
No.
When you started the convention.
No, when I went, it was just the Revenge lineup, and it was great, but at that time...
You must have been pissed when you found later on that they bring Peter and Ace out. You must be like, I could have seen that show.
Oh, I know. I had no idea that was going to happen. I don't think the band had any idea that was going to happen. Yeah. You know,
something from the family.
Yeah, exactly. And then the reunion comes out in '96, and me and you went to a ton of those shows. The very first one at the Garden in Boston.
That's right.
You know, that was just absolute madness just seeing that. I mean, that was just, you know, still the best. And then we've seen him a bunch of other times. Most recently, me and you, 2 years ago, it was the Freedom to Rock Tour in Worcester, Massachusetts. That show was amazing. We were very pleasantly surprised by that performance.
Yeah. I thought they were awesome.
Yeah. And now we're booked for two shows for the end of the road tour in March.
Yeah, that's right. So, and hopefully those won't be our last two shows of some sort.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah. So that's my little time capsule right there. Why don't you give us a little background? Tell everybody.
Give me my silly little Kiss story.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
So I, like you, grew up in the Boston area, grew up in Arlington. I had cousins as well, and it's always a cousin or, you know, something like that, older brother that gets you into Kiss. That's what I hear from most fans. And so I had a crazy older cousin named Mike, and we would go up to his house in Arlington Heights. And what attracted me first, and I know you've heard me tell this story, but was that Spirit of 76 poster he had on his wall of Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
And Peter had the bandage all around his head playing the drums and stuff. I was like, what the hell is this? Next thing you know, I'm, you know, immersed in Kiss.
Yep.
I'm talking just like you, a five-year-old. So my Kiss kind of started around, I would say, Love Gun, Rock and Roll Over, you know, somewhere around that area, and then Destroyer as well, because I always remember those three albums. You know, you're talking about a five-year-old. I got into them. I remember things from my childhood about Kiss. I remember the gum in the trading cards. I remember the smell of those cards. It's hard to explain it, but I know what that smell is. If you blindfolded me now and put something like that in front of me, I'll be like, those are Kiss trading cards.
Oh, yeah.
I remember those. I remembered what it was like with the vinyls, opening them up, the records, and, you know, open up Live 2. Mm-hmm. I remember Gene's bloody face in Alive 2 going, what did this guy go through? Like, he just went through a war.
Yep.
Like you, I just, you know, whether it was the music, whether it was the image, whatever it was, something as a young kid attracted me to him. And it stuck with me. And I picked my favorite guy. Like, every young kid, everybody's like, somebody identifies with one of them, and I identified with Peter. I loved him in the beginning, And he's always been my favorite guy. And since that happened, after I, you know, got into them for a while, I remembered all the way up through Dynasty, just like you. I remembered at some point it kind of drops off. But I don't know. One other thing I remember when I was little, I had the costume. And I always show this. Every Halloween on Facebook, I always post that costume. I had the Peter Criss costume for Halloween. My brother was Gene. Did you ever have a Kiss Halloween costume?
Oh, absolutely. I had that exact same costume that you do. I had the Gene version.
Yeah, the one that my brother's in that picture with me with Gene, right?
Exact same one. Yep.
Yeah, and I was always Peter. I'll never forget it, and I love that. It was my favorite costume I ever had. And I remember the Five and Dime where I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stayed with them right up until Dynasty. When you think about it, you're looking about 79, so about 5 years. You know, music, you start going up to grade school, junior high and stuff. I remember like Duran came out in the 80s, like different things started coming up the early 80s and stuff. And then again, that same cousin Mike, they had moved to Detroit. When you think of Kiss,
Detroit,
right? Detroit.
Yep.
So I go to his house, we're visiting him in Detroit. And what does he have? He has Animize live playing on his big screen. I'm like, what the heck is this?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Stanley's like a leopard leotard. I don't know what he's got. He's like got his ass shaking. Gene sticking out his tongue. And I'm like, holy Christ, is that Kiss? He's like, yeah, they're still awesome. You got to listen to them. This is so cool. And I remember now I'm drawing a blank. The big song from Animal Eyes. Hit me. Help me
out. Heaven's on Fire.
Heaven's on Fire.
Yeah.
And then around this time, I started getting into like the pop hair metal that it becomes later. Mm-hmm. I remembered listening to Runaway in my basement when that first hit the top 40. I'm like, this is cool. Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah.
I started getting them. Def Leppard had come out a year earlier with Pyromania.
Oh, yeah.
And I really got into that kind of music. And then my first back into Kiss was Asylum.
Okay.
I remember the Tears of Falling video. I loved it. And so Kiss now became part of my hair metal kind of one of those bands that I listen to. And so I have Asylum. And I'll never forget it. You know, remember one of those magazines? Like Circus and those other magazines. And they had
Parader.
Yeah. And they had like birthdays. And this is in the 80s. And it was like,
yeah,
Gene Simmons turns 30. I was like, 38. Holy Christ. He's so old. 38. I remember when he turned 38.
Yeah.
I'll remember getting back into them. And then, you know, after like Asylum, I think I've told you this story. I'm in Porter Square at the fish store, Big Fish, Little Fish.
Oh, yeah.
And in the background, I hear Christine 16. And it must have been AAF playing it or something. The radio station Boston plays rock music like that. And I was like, oh, my God, I'll never forget that keyboard. It's hard to forget when you hear it again.
Right.
And so I'm like, I got to get back into the old catalog. And that's when you start rediscovering. Oh, yeah, I remember Once You Get Love Gun. I remember I Stole Your Love. Oh, man, I remember this song. And I got back into them to the point where I remembered waiting for their next thing to come out, which it wasn't Crazy Nights. It was Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the Kiss video came out. Remember?
Yep.
I think that's Kiss Exposed.
Yes. Yeah. Kiss Exposed.
And
yep.
I got that VHS. Pardon me.
Yep.
And I must have watched that a million times. Plus, there was a couple chest shots of the ladies back then, you know, and I'm still in junior high watching that.
Yep.
Watching the old footage. It was a great reintroduction of my childhood, of the band that I used to love.
Yeah. And you got to and with that. It's kind of like when I mentioned with the extreme close-up video. I mean, obviously, this is years and years before YouTube. We had never seen them we never saw what they looked like. So to see, to have those videos come out, we were like, holy shit, this is insane.
Yep. And knowing that they have videos for like I Love It Loud and things like that.
Yeah.
It was awesome. When I saw that I Love It Loud video when they were in Brazil and that whole stadium was just, I was like, holy Christ, that's the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's when I, all of a sudden I saw, who the hell is this guy? What kind of makeup is that? And that's Vinnie Vincent now, all of a sudden I start getting into, right? And then you start picking up all the stuff again. Yep. And you're starting to, you know, find out all this other information and learn about him and pick up, because there's so much to, like, as far as the music, the history to get into with Kiss. And then from there, you know, it was waiting every time that a Kiss album came out, whether it's Crazy Nights, Hot in the Shade, whatever. I fell in love with Kiss again, and I fell in love with their back catalog. I'd go through everything. And to the point, so by the time I got to Stonehill College, 91, and I met you, I think we were both at that same phase where Hot in the Shade had kind of come out.
Yep.
And Revenge was about to come out.
Yep.
And we were already back into them, because some friends of ours and other people would like, oh, I like that song, Hide Your Heart. Or I like Reason to Live. Those would get on the MTV's like countdown for like, or Hair Metal's Ball or whatever, Headbangers Ball. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Kiss started getting a little bit more mainstream too, because you remember Forever came out on Hot in the Shade, and that just like people who didn't even like Kiss were like, oh, because that was like, that was the whole power.
Well, let me get my lighter out. In
yeah, the, you know, exactly.
At a concert, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And so they did that. And so by the time Revenge came out and me and you became friends and we were both into them,
yep,
it kind of became our own private joke.
Yeah.
I shouldn't call it a joke, but our own private thing.
Yeah.
Everybody could like, oh, I love this, I love this. And then all of a sudden Nirvana comes out, Pearl Jam comes out. Yeah, let's put on this. Let's go listen to Hootie and the Blowfish. But in the meantime, like, hey, let's put on Rock and Roll Over.
Yeah.
In the middle of a party when people are like, what the hell is this crap? Like,
or I'll tell you what gets the party going, that opening bass line to Sure Know Something.
Woo! Oh my God. People are like, oh yeah, I could dance to this all night. And that got us back into it.
Yep.
And so then we came up with the fun idea to dress up as Kiss for Halloween in 94.
Yep.
And the look on people's faces was just like, what's wrong with you?
Like literally.
Is this a joke?
I don't even think people are like, oh, that's so cool, you guys are Kiss. I think people are like, what the hell are you doing?
Like, we're embarrassed for you.
Yeah,
right?
Yes,
exactly. That's all right. We were fine with it.
Yep, we were ahead of the curve.
Oh, that's right. You know, and then eventually what ends up happening is the reunion happens. We go to that concert. I'll never forget it. It's probably my favorite concert of all time. Just, I know where we were in the garden watching it, listening, and then just like at some point, go, like looking to you and be like, like, it can't even say it. Like, can you? This, we're seeing this.
Yep.
And it was just insane. And through the years, we've been to a ton of Kiss concerts, yep, some better than others, right?
Yeah.
Every one of them had some sort of experience. We saw Kiss with Aerosmith. We saw Kiss with Def Leppard. I think Kiss, Def Leppard, was that Rock the Nation or no?
No. No, that Rock the Nation was, that was just Kiss.
And we got that, and that's where we got those CDs, right?
Yeah, the live recording. Yeah, we saw them with Poison.
Yeah.
I think you saw them with Motley Crue. I don't think I
don't know if I saw them with Motley Crue. I didn't see them with Motley Crue. I take that back. I didn't.
Okay.
Because I've never seen Motley Crue. I've seen them with Aerosmith, Def Leppard. We saw them at the Garden once. Remember that concert we saw them with Buck Cherry?
Oh yeah, well, Buck Cherry was the opener, and that was a weird fit.
I'll never forget listening to Buck Cherry go on and on their song "Lit Up."
Yeah,
like, well, cocaine. He's like, you guys remember that first night? And he's glamorizing. I'm like, there's no way Gene is allowing this. And I think they were gone from this tour not too long after that.
I know.
I was just like, I'm feeling creepy. Like, I'm a bunch of cokeheads here. What's going on?
Yeah, that was
there's little kids in here dressed as Kiss here. And I saw them with them. And then who was the I Want You episode from?
Oh, that was when they played with Poison.
We will tell you guys about the I Want You episode in a later time when we talk about our fun Kiss stories. Was something else. And it's something to do with the song I Want You. Anyways, and then we saw them the last show, I believe we saw them, was in Worcester. And a great thing about that is, you know, Paul would always go into the story about how in the 70s, Kiss was banned from Boston Garden because they were all their fireworks and pyros and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they had to play in the city of Worcester. Yep. And a lot of people don't know, but the city of Worcester is in Massachusetts, but it's actually bigger than Providence. It's bigger than a lot of the neighborhood and cities in New England. And they love it. And they made a big point that they have a big following in Worcester. It was awesome. And our seats were right where the part where, you know, Paul swings across during Love Gun. Oh,
that was perfect. Remember? Yeah, he was like
right in front of, he was like literally shoving his Love Gun in my face. He was like that close. And it's like, please, Paul, back up. Those were awesome seats. The sound was awesome. They were excellent.
They sounded great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we saw them on that tour as well. And throughout the years, me and you have had this thing where it's like we got to text each other silly jokes. Oh, look at this picture of Kiss. Oh, look at this comment. Oh, Eddie Trunk said this about Kiss. And we would always – it'd always be something where we would constantly say, like, text each other Kiss stories or Kiss jokes or Kiss comments and stuff. And
it never went away.
No, never did.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is that, you know, we get into you know, podcast medium now. We listen to, we have our favorite podcasts out there, and there's so many really good Kiss ones. A few that are my favorites and that we listen to as soon as they come out, and we'll give them a shout out as well. And you know, and it's not one of those things that we thought about like, oh, we can do this better. It's just we don't want to do things better. We just want to give a different type of a point of view and maybe talk about the band that we can't stop talking about.
Yeah.
And hopefully other people will want to join in with the conversation with us and find it as entertaining as we do.
Yeah. We just want to add to it. Cause like we said, Kiss fans, you can never get enough. And I think this right now is probably the perfect time for us to kick this off, because for Kiss fans out there, this is the peak with the End of the Road tour. People are just getting so fired up for that tour to start after the first of the year. So I think Kiss is going to be more popular than ever, especially amongst Kiss freaks like us.
Yeah.
And I think there's just so much to talk about. They're always in the news, whether it's regarding the tour, current members, past members, you know, merchandising, all different. I think it's just, there's just going to be so much to talk about, and it's just going to be, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, and that's just the thing we always say. It's like, we all love music. I mean, obviously, Kiss is our favorite. We all love music, and I tell Tom this story all the time. I have a friend that's close that I love the Eagles with him. But, you know, unless we're in the car listening to the Eagles, I'm not texting him going, oh, did you hear what Joe Walsh said about Don Henley last week? Like, it's not exciting.
Right.
There's something about Kiss, whether it's, you know, the music, the who's your favorite character? Oh, this guy said this about this guy. Or, oh, did you see their new video with Scooby-Doo? Did you like, or like, or, but last week we were talking about the episode of another favorite podcast of ours, talking about like Gene's cod pieces.
Like, right.
Why is that a discussion? And why do I have knowledge about that? Why could I chime in about that? What's wrong with me? Why do I know about his podcast, his cod pieces?
Not only do you know about it, but we all have like informed opinions on it.
Yeah. As though, like, of all the things that should be in my brain, that is one of those things that I'm like, I shouldn't be thinking about things. Like, nobody is like texting somebody, oh, you know, I'm not a big fan of the scarves that Steven Tyler wore during the Toys in the Attic tour.
Right.
But we will comment about, you know, the purple that, you know, Paul had during the Dynasty tour was a little tad too much.
Yep.
And we'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, huh? What's that? What do you mean purple? Like, yeah. You know, that's the color. That's him. That's Paul Stanley. Like, you know, it just...
Yeah, and not only will we know, people will be like, no, I think it was great. How can you not say that you... And then it turns into like an argument about, you know, it's like... and that's what makes it awesome.
Yeah, and you... I mean, look, the one thing we will say is, like, we're not experts. We do not have... We both don't have musical backgrounds.
Right.
We're not experts in the sense of... look, this is this song was co-written in 1978 when so-and-so came in because Ace had the flu. Like, there are certain things we know. We know every single song that they've ever done, and we know them inside and out and could quote you the lyrics and do all that stuff. But, you know, we're not up here to talk about collector's items, although, you know, if that discussion comes up, we can more than hold our own. But we're not experts on this stuff. What we are experts on is the band music, the members, and the love of, you know, the Kiss culture.
Yeah.
And it's fandom, right? Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what we want to share with everybody is, like, look, everybody obviously knows we love Kiss. And if you're listening to us, you obviously do too. But there's so much fun things to talk about. And I'll tell you right now, once you start to know myself and Zeus and start getting familiar with this show, we love the band. We love to laugh at them. We love to laugh with them. And I'll tell you right now, our opinions are very similar, but they're also extremely different. We're not afraid to call out the band for stupid, silly things that they do. You know, it's not going to be, a 60-minute foot rub every episode here. We love the band.
At least not with each other.
Yeah. I mean, we love the band, but we're not afraid to be like, all right, Gene, really? Soda? Come on, man. You know?
This dad, I'm going to buy some soda for the convenience store. Soda? People drink soda. Let me throw a money bag, sign on that, and go.
There you go. Right, exactly. Bingo.
Yeah, and I got to work on that Gene impression.
That's pretty good.
But you know, with Kiss comes so much topic and so much things you can discuss, and you know, and we want to make it a little different. We're going to try to come up with some great fun ideas and different categories. Not do the old, you know, cliche. We'll talk about albums sometimes, but that's not what we're all going to be about. And the one thing I do want to add is we really want to make this interactive. And what that means is we want to see you guys get involved, whether that means hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anything that we go out and market ourselves with social media. Please ask us questions, get involved, tell us some topics you want to discuss. We're open to it.
Yeah, we're gonna keep active on social media. We want your input. We also want you to, you know, come at us with ideas for future shows. Maybe put some polls out there, topics, etc. We want this to be, you know, a group dynamic where, you know, you guys can feel part of the show. You know, if you have questions, maybe we'll read them, you know, during the episode. You know, we want people to feel, you know, that we're all in this together. You know, we want to have fun, make it entertaining, maybe a little informative here and there. But yeah, we're going to stay active, and we want you guys to be active as well. You know, we want this to be a big group event.
All right. So, on that note, I'd say that, we've got to start working on our first real episode.
Yep.
We already have our topics for the next few weeks set up, but we're probably going to hold off until after the holidays. So I would like to end this episode with one more thing that Tom wants to add. Go ahead, buddy.
One more thing, just real quick before we
Go right ahead.
All right. So to get a little bit more background about each of us, real quick, favorite album.
Oh, shoot. I have Eras. I always look at his favorite first three albums, favorite next three albums.
Oh, that's cheating.
I can't do it. I can't. And then favorite makeup, non-makeup album. I don't know. Favorite album, I would either go off the top of my head. You know how it is. You have a favorite album for a month, and then you switch. And
no, I have another favorite album. I always have
I would probably
one.
Say Rock and Roll Over.
Okay. All right, you? So I'll give you a break. Your favorite makeup album is Rock and Roll Over. What's your favorite non-makeup album?
Probably Lick It Up.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier your favorite member is Peter.
Not even close.
Okay.
Absolutely. His voice he's got the best voice. I know he gets some criticism from some of the members about, have you ever heard a Kiss album where you're like, the drumming's terrible?
No.
Now, I know they say that people helped him out. I don't care. He still sounded fine. I never went to a concert where I didn't hear him play where I'd say, that's terrible.
Go back.
So maybe. Go ahead.
Go back and listen to the drumming on Alive 2.
Yeah, it's just, they either helped him out so much and everybody behind the scenes. I still think he did awesome. I never had a complaint. I felt like sometimes that the other two were more so Eric Carr was just over the top.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
And not that he was bad.
No, he was a great drummer, but I prefer the sound of the drums on Love Gun and Rock and Roll Over.
Yeah.
That drum sound is what I want to hear from Peter Criss or from any Kiss drummer. I love Eric Carr.
When
I love Eric Singer.
I think of the drums for Kiss, I think of Creatures of the Night, the whole album, because that was just unique.
Yeah.
But I think of Detroit Rock City drum pattern. I think of Love Gun.
Yep.
And then I think of Mainline.
The
little cowbell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's all Peter. But more importantly, he had charisma. He had character.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
His the voice, he was like, just seemed like he was swinging back there. Not just some, and I'm not saying that those guys were, but just, another hair metal drummer. The drummer's crazy. He plays this. Okay. Another crazy drummer with big hair. Okay.
No, he but added Peter, something. He added something to that band that they needed. And I don't want to go off on a tangent talking about
attitude.
Yeah, I don't want to go off on a tangent talking about Peter because we can do that when we start having member episodes. But so for me, my favorite album has always been, and it always will be, it's Love Gun. It's always going to be Love Gun, and there's a couple reasons, real quick, why that is. First, as I told you previously, it was the very first album I ever owned. But the thing I love about that album is that, it's got Love Gun, it's got I Stole Your Love, but it's got a ton of songs on there that are not beaten into the ground that I love.
I know. You say that all the time.
I mean, we hear Christine 16, we hear Plastercaster, but they're not burned into the ground. Shock Me, Ace's greatest guitar solo, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Got Love for Sale, so underrated. Almost
you
Human.
Love that song.
Almost Human, so underrated. And I know you hate it, even though you're a Peter fan. Hooligan, love that song. I just think it's a great mix of songs.
Favorite Peter song. Yeah.
I just think it's a great mix of classics and deeper cuts. And the sound of the band is awesome too. And for me, it's always going to be Gene. Gene's always my man.
Non-makeup,
I'd probably go Lick It Up, maybe Revenge, depending on my mood, but I'd probably say Lick It Up. Yeah.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
So it's Gene, Love Gun, and Lick It Up, huh?
Yep. Definitely. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep.
Sweet. Well, we're going to obviously get into more details about our favorite characters, characters. Are we talking about the Stones like that? Who's your favorite character?
I know.
Like the guy with the big lips. Oh, okay. Jesus Christ. That's why you got to love Kiss, right?
Yeah.
And the only thing I was going to add to this is, you know how you said, like, you know, your first? Technically, Double Platinum was my first CD. I'll never forget it. When CDs came out, and I was kind of like, I have like 300 cassettes. What am I going to do with these? And I was like, oh, they're so expensive, CDs. I'm like, oh, wow. But look at this. I can buy 20 songs for the same price. I'm smarter than everybody. I'm buying Double Platinum. That's my first CD. And
yep,
I'll never forget playing it. And then I was like, you know what? Strutter seems different on this.
Oh.
I'm like, what does it mean, Strutter 78? Oh, yeah. You know.
Yeah, translation, Disco Strutter.
Yeah, basically.
Yep.
So, you know, and we'll get into more stories, obviously, about the rest of the albums and the rest of the members and go into details. But, you know, we're looking forward to it. I know I'm excited to get our first real episode off the ground. And we think we have a great topic. I can't wait to share it with you guys. It's going to be awesome. And till then, my friend, I guess I'll say Merry Christmas to you.
Absolutely. You too.
And Merry Christmas to the Kiss Army. And you know what? It's time for me to get some loving because I'm hot like an oven, Tommy. So I'll see you, buddy.
All right, man. I'm going to go hit the highway doing 69.
All right. You go do that with yourself. And we'll talk soon.
All right, man.
All right. We'll see you, buddy. Take care.
Later.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.